I'm going to read a fairly old poem, and you'll see why in a minute. It's called 1959. "Is it hot enough for you?" the neighbor said on the stairs to the girl in gloves. "Hot enough for you?" said the subway conductor, closing the doors. "Hot enough," the elevator man, to the girl in a shirtwaist dress, one of many white girls in summer gloves, hair damp on her neck, on her way to the typing pool. She laughed for the colored man, moving the brass control through its arc. In the big room where the men yelled into phones at debtors, fans turned. Ribbons fluttered on the round cages to indicate breezes. In the center of the room, an iron mesh, floor-to-ceiling, surrounded the typists. Little jackets hung on the backs of their chairs. After work, elevator, subway, stairs, supper, maybe a movie, 20 degrees cooler inside, maybe an Esther Williams. They never said, "Fast enough for you? Deep enough? High enough?" They never said then, "Far enough? Far enough for any of us?" And this one is so recent that I haven't decided about the title or maybe anything else. My husband buys cheese at Pennsylvania Macaroni. I like the semi-soft kind that's split by a layer of ash, not mold. Melting indulgence, penance, melting again. At our wedding, he smashed a flash bulb in place of the traditional glass, while uncles shouted encouragements, traditionally crass. Even the name Morbier smacks of death. Maybe it's Basque. The aisle that leads to the altar is lined with crash. Volcanic soils are fertile, so after eruptions, people repeople the slippery scree. Weddings were about repeopling then, the community-approved means of production. Kauai was paradise, though damaged by a Niki. An old discursive cookbook says, "What a friend we have in cheeses." I think we'll go together to the end. Morbier is edible, even to the rind. This is called Lessons, and it's spelled L-E-S-S-E-N-S. Look back, and your idol's name has an asterisk in the record book. Your first crush had a risible hairdo and visible pancake makeup. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have hung your hat on a star. The moon colony shut down, but you computed an arctangent, cashed out. The guy who gave back his medals pedals ahead of you in your furious cycles. The author whose depleted fame spurred you to emulation has lines that stir you still. Sight on the red pennant or the green light, so long as it's upward or onward, or the cross. Okay, well, I guess everybody knows I'm a grandmother. You know, I beamed that information. So you all can hear me, I think? Yeah, okay. You too? Yeah, good. For Anne pregnant on the 40th anniversary of the moon landing. For 8 months, you've been a sea with an island continent, an imperial nation with one citizen tenderly held, not subject but sovereign, though soon to be expelled. Meanwhile, to him, according to his needs, you're his all. Chamber and chamber orchestra, grocery, and let it be said, his chamber pot, though he's pure. a little given to piracy. He exacts tribute from your bones, taxes your blood, softens your joinery, so your hips waddle as you cradle him. In this ninth month, we begin to count our unhatched chick, finding it difficult to live in the moment when a coming moment will be so momentous, not forgetting the hen, your health, your strength. We count down toward the launch from the mothership, how the great valve of you will shudder and thrust him, our breath held for his awful balancing between the worlds, from the moony, secure, black and white one we've seen on a sonogram, where no wind blows, to our ruddy, noisy, and too bloody earth. Okay. How am I doing? Okay. Brown-eyed Susans. Brown-eyed Susans, vigorous, have seated themselves in my yard, in my neighbor's yards, at the curb, bloom in weakened September sun, as winning as children past bedtime. Chrome yellow, the exact yellow Frank Sear, father of school buses, prescribed in 1939, exact yellow of buses across the way. Dozens, maybe 100 buses wait to receive children from the home, as my old neighbor called it, once the industrial home for crippled children. Wait for hours, double park, block the street, because each carries one or two children to some distant town. They don't flash cautionary lights. It's safe to pass them. The children won't run in the streets. Now a counselor wheels a child, pale, atrophied limbs, contracted, a hole in his throat, to a metal lift to be raised to the floor of the bus, where the driver will fasten his chair to a hold down. Day's eyes, asters, brown-eyed Susans, thrust, imperative, flowers from cracks. The green rosette of pods on the hosta, the yucca's white crown of bells that flowered here in the north where it can never fruit, abundance battens, burgeons, waste, waste, waste. Father of children, if this life is a school for another life, I am crooked one way and another, contracted, declined from perfection. Receive me with the pity and patience of the drivers who, chatting and smoking, throw down their smokes to receive the children, to lift them into the open ports of their yellow and waiting buses. One more? Okay, this is longish. I'm reading this one kind of in memory of Bob Lund. It's sort of, you know, many of you know him. He was a member of Pittsburgh Poetry Society and Pittsburgh Poetry Exchange. And he died not very long ago. But he was predeceased by his grandchild, granddaughter, and I don't know too much about it, but this is sort of inspired by that. Edge. Because his wife asked, the grandfather wields edger and weed whip, watches the blurred filament fell the tall grass. She is Catholic, knows suffering and hope twine. Her hoe and trowel scrape mud from the flooded tender annuals that she set out in May in tidy beds. There was a storm, the power failing, limbs falling, 3 nights ago, the night they heard the doctor say inoperable. She tips waters from saucers, digs weeds, prunes heavily to set all to rights. Her hostess spread broad leaves unmarred by snails. Scape and stalk rise. A cardinal hides its red in the shrub. A robin sings and sings from high. Daylilies, their neighbor calls them firecracker flowers, point small fingers to the sky. She hasn't seen a firefly. Their granddaughter will not see a firefly, a bee, the dreadful congregation of turkey buzzards around an open deer. To be consoled that she is safe from wasp and coiled snake, from traitor and thief, that she will not coarsen or know their grief, would be cold. The grandfather gets the chainsaw, fills it with gasoline from the red safety container, thinks of flame, of a vapor trail igniting, to burn, rush, burst out. Red, 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 red. He closes the can with care, yanks the starter cord, lets the roaring chain speak. The saw chews through green limbs. His old arm's strength knots. Again, again, chunks drop to the ground, fresh leaves. He lops slender trunks storm-downed into lengths to fit the hearth for their winter fire.